very long time, and inspires us continually. So he's with you. But I think Milton Gaines was to be here, and the third name escapes me now. But Arthur Wallace can keep you. He can keep you in conversation for a long time.
Well, he's a man prepared. So we absolutely can't prepare.
Great.
Well, oh man, you got some stuff here.
Sorry, I'm just.
But he definitely came prepared. And if anyone comes in after we've started, we'll make a brief introduction.
Okay.
And we'll do that. But for Mr. Wallace, I think we'll start moving in that direction.
Okay. This is some First Baptist stuff.
I guess some of all the old. Yeah, ever been in Charlotte almost.
Yeah. Well, in addition to being Charlottean, he is internationally traveled. He's a World War II veteran.
Oh.
Spent time in France.
Yeah.
And
three battle stars. I have three invasion, they call them battle stars.
My father was in the Pacific during World War II.
I was in Europe.
Mm.
Yeah. Went all the way up to the Rhine, almost into Germany.
Mm.
Following the front line.
Which division were you with?
Quartermaster Trucking Company. So we unloaded from. They dropped stuff in our truck and we lined up and carried it to the front line within 5 miles.
Okay.
Wow.
Dangerous place to be.
That's the main thing right there.
I like that.
That's fun.
Genesis. Wow, you enrollment. You got some stuff here.
Put all this together, and this is something. I got extra copies of those when I get out.
Brother Wallace, you kept some stuff. You really have.
Well, when I was pleasure time, I just threw it in a box, and now I put it together.
I think it's wonderful.
University Park.
This was mentioned.
The Native Tribe Foundation was mentioned in the first.
Sister McGill mentioned that, and I didn't know much about that.
Oh, yeah.
And scouting, Boy Scouting, was mentioned several times.
All these covers here,
aww,
the children, while I was sick, from that class, they all thought about me, and they made all these things here.
Hmm.
And that's been almost 10 years ago.
Oh, that is great.
I never threw it away. It was so precious, I just kept it.
Aww.
Good for you. Good for you.
And that I'm going to show them. I'm going to catch it at class one day.
It's amazing what kids will come up with. If you just give them a piece of paper and some stuff, you know, just come up with something.
And I've been cheating with them. Where you got tires, you know? Mm-hmm. Pretty shoes you got on. What you got on your jacket? And they remembered all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm gonna let you all be entertained by.
This is my brother here.
Okay.
Men's choir in Abyssinia, Philadelphia. Of course, he's my baby brother.
Wow.
He and his choir kept this. 88.
Yeah.
Away.
Well, in addition to everything else he does, he sings very well too. So don't encourage him.
He'll be all right.
Maybe
we should.
Well,
think about it. We got it together. I mean, and he keeps it together.
He's a good man. You're very kind.
He is a good man. I ain't never told him because. He didn't have bought enough, the hat wouldn't fit his head. You know what I mean?
Well, you're very kind.
I say nice things, and I say it to the point. If anything anybody said out, I don't quite agree with it. I say it right then, get it off my mind.
Yeah.
And this just be me.
That's right.
Don't put on nothing. If I feel it, you this way, I tell it so it, you can hear it, not wait till you get in the ground.
Well, Brother Wallace, I appreciate you saying
that's
that.
That's right. I really mean that.
I do. Well, if the others come, I'll send them this way, but I'll let you go. Y'all go ahead and get started.
Thank you.
And if you need anything from me, let us know. Okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have you get comfortable?
Yes, I have. I've seen 18 solos as my fire crew. Hot or rain, I've been in for. So.
You just turn on here. And should I medically come on? And find our point here. And we all find this key this down. Back it up just a little bit. That's
that. I'm at Brown Lee and David Limited in case you want some guns and things.
Okay. Well, I'm going to introduce a little bit of what we're doing this morning. And then we're going to ask you to just answer to some questions as things come to mind. We'll bring up a few topics, and I'm sure you'll be telling us things that we haven't heard before, and we're going to want to learn as much about Brookpoint and the church as we can in the short time that we have together this morning. My name is Leah Yukaitis. I'm a graduate student at the University of North Carolina, Charlotte. We're doing an oral history project in the Brookpoint neighborhood. We're studying both its community and the effect of urban renewal. And if you could, we'd like you to introduce yourself this morning.
My name is Arthur L. Wallace.
And you were with the church in Brooklyn, Friendship Baptist, starting in 1933.
Yes.
And were you born in Brooklyn?
Yes, I was born in South Tryon Street.
South Tryon Street?
North Tryon Street, near the old train station down there, way out on North Tryon. It's called Newtown.
Newtown?
Yeah.
That's something I wasn't aware of.
Huh?
I wasn't aware of that.
No, not yet.
Okay. And you go back to church to 1933.
That's right.
What are some of your earliest memories from back then, going to Friendship Baptist?
Started from the beginning. I come out of a daily vacation Bible school. I came out of Ebenezer when I was a young man, and I went to daily vacation Bible school near where I live and met Reverend Powell in this daily vacation Bible school. And then I enjoyed him so much that I joined Friendship. That's the reason that I joined Friendship and left Ebenezer. And then I got on the choir. And I stayed on the choir from the time I joined, because that's why I wanted to work in the church. Then, I become janitor of the church for 11 years.
Now, in the early years you were with the church, was there only one choir? Was there only one choir in the early years?
That was a hymn choir, a children's choir, a senior choir, we used to call it. That was the main choir. And that was it.
What was the difference between the hymn choir and the senior choir?
Well, the hymn choir was they did without an accompaniment. They didn't have anybody playing nothing. It was just nothing but voices, no instrument. And they did the old songs that says how they felt the words. The words told the story of the songs that they sung.
Okay. And the senior choir, what type of songs would they sing?
They moved up a little bit into a, they had music before them.
Okay.
You know, hymn books. And the organ, the piano together.
So,
yeah.
In the early years, the first person from Friendship Baptist that really had an impact on you was Reverend Powell.
That's right. He was the pastor.
Could you tell some stories about Reverend Powell or things you remember or admire?
Reverend Powell was a humble man. He had something. He would listen you out to the last word and then say what he had to say. And the tone of voice that he was saying in, and his facial expression, you could see how sincere he was to what he was saying. He went along, facial expression and what he said went together. And that made me feel more closer, you know. I could accept the sermon better. He was just too humble. He probably let some things go that he should keep from making somebody feel bad. That was the too humble part about him, you know. And then he was just a good man. He was just a good man.
And he was a leader in the church, certainly.
He was a pastor of the church.
Was he also a leader in the community?
Oh, yes. Everybody loved him.
What type of things did he do in the community? I mean, not just for the church, but...
Well, I can't say. They did visit the sick. The pastor visited the sick. Instead of having somebody, a special person, pointed out the visit, he went himself and seen about his members. He didn't have somebody else doing it. Of course, I know it was a smaller church, you know, and then, you know, pastor this day can't. You know, he got too much on him, you know, to do it. He has a committee that does that to now, and I can understand that.
Going back to roughly the same years as Reverend Powell, can you think of other leaders in the community or other leaders within Friendship Baptist?
Yes. Some of the deacon Hemp Hill, he was, and Deacon Crawford. And Miss Shepherd.
What kind of
please?
Things that they do with the church.
These people would watch everything and pull you aside and tell you about it. It was a little over. They would, and we would listen to it because we knew it was right. And that was a sermon there, you know. She'd see something wrong, she would pull you aside, or he would pull you aside. The three of them catch you one by one, in somebody, you know, one on one, and tell you. And all you could do is just stand there until they finished. you have that much respect, and you have received so much from him. And from then on, we would be, what we learned from them, we would be a little more obedient and respectable.
The church had a great impact, not just from religion, but also in your in the character of the people who attended.
That's right. The environment made the difference.
How did the church reach out to the community of Brooklyn?
Well, Reverend Carey came along next. When Reverend Carey came along, I remember he would go into the community on a bicycle, and he would get children in the neighborhood, and some of the children he would send it to one of the members of our church to fix half the girls' hair, and they could go into this beauty shop right across from the church, and they would fix the hair free, and they would come to church, one thing I did, and people just loved him. He would get going to the rough section down in there where people didn't pay no attention, so much, they were doing, and get them to come and get them to start at the church. And there's a lot of young people that he got started at the church. And after the church got them in, then he saw one of the deacons say there was a man sitting out there in his listening, who had to open the windows there. And then he says, he's trying to hear the sermon. Reverend Carey stopped his sermon, went out and got him, brought him sitting there, and told him, if anybody say anything, look at him and just smile and get what you can. Take off, we love you.
I've heard this before, and you said that he would go down to the rough section of Brooklyn.
That's right.
From what we've heard in other interviews with Friendship Baptist, really Brooklyn was two communities. One was, it was discussed as being sort of the haves, and the other one being the have-nots.
That's right, the have-less.
The have-less. Could you talk a little bit more about the differences in Brooklyn,
Well, mostly they just they did what they wanted to do before they did what they needed to do, and they was non-church members. But Reverend Carey knew that it was something. They were growing into what God wanted them to be, instead of stop doing this, stop doing that. And after he realized they were growing into what he wanted them to be, then it could be a slow grower or a fast grower. So this makes him look at them and give them time to grow.
But Reverend Carey would go out to all the growers.
Yeah.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful. That's a wonderful story.
And then he would just go out of his way all the time. All the time. He's the first black man on the school board. He moved all kinds of he just moved all kinds of ways.
You mentioned that he would travel around in bicycle. And he would go down to all the different parts of the neighborhood on his bicycle. How
riding around, smiling.
How far did you live from the church?
I lived around, what, 3 blocks.
So you would walk there, and I would presume. Would there be things going on during the week? I mean, was it just on Sunday, or were there things going on in the week, or?
Well, we had different things. They had different press services and meetings and on how to do and what. I remember one of the meetings he got together and he got up on the church and seen what condition the church was in, and then he come back with his plans. And then after he came back with his plan, then he came back with a way of, he was only paying me $31 a month to open the church, close the church.
And what year would that be? Or what years would that be in?
1936. Yeah.
We've heard that Sunday school went all day. That's the way it was phrased to us, and it was an all-day event. But one of the brothers mentioned that I think Reverend Carey owned a filling station across from the church. Reverend Carey owned a gas station across from the church.
No.
He
didn't.
No.
It was Bishop Dale.
Bishop, okay. Dale. Okay. And they would occasionally go out there and get sodas or little snacks for the children?
Right. That's right. But they never had Sunday school all day.
Okay.
They had a service, Sunday school before the service.
Okay.
Not all day. Never. And after he did that, he seen the need, the repairs of the church and this and that and other thing. So what he did was, he had a plan. And the plan was tithing. And he explained the tithings. And he told them about the tenth and everything. And then he explained it all the way down through where you could go and read the scripture too. Plus, he says now, if you don't want to pay the tithe, don't pay it.
And this was Reverend Carey?
He says, if you come by here one day and without your money, we still be having church. Come out here 50 years from today. The words he say. You keep your money in your pocket, and we still have church.
And that was part of his plan for the church.
And the church found out he wasn't begging for the money. That's your money. Lord will allow you to have it. And if this is the way you want to do, you give an account to God. He broke it down real good. He said, now, and we had 8 tithers at that particular time. That's when our church started growing. 8 tithers. After he got through saying that, people started paying better. Because he stopped begging. He didn't start begging. The other pastor begging for the money. Now he ain't begging for that. He's telling, you know, this is what you want to do with it. And the money started coming in. We started being able to do more things. And then things grew so good, and the money and everything started coming in so good, they offered him another raise, voluntarily. He said, no, you ain't ready. You're not ready to give me a raise. He refused a raise. Don't many pastors refuse a raise. He refused a raise because he said that you're not able. And he didn't take no raise until we got able.
Looking back on those years at a church, and they sound like very interesting years, was there one event or time that stands out in your mind? I mean, maybe a church meeting or a wedding or an event in the community that just really stands out that had an impact, you know, just something special that happened?
Just singing part, you know, we had some good singing. I mean, good singing because we had Miss Rosina Nicholas was our organist, and she was the best you ever could find. You would never find nothing so dedicated. And she was just, you could tell that she could just look at you and just direct you without even doing anything with that. Yes, she could just, you know, facial expressions, you know what I mean? And we could understand it. And we would know that we needed to do something. And she was just, you never wanted to be it.
Moving forward a little bit, I've heard about the Brotherhood, which was a men's group in the church.
Yeah, they had a Brotherhood later.
Oh, that came later?
Yeah.
When did that come about?
Reverend Carey.
Reverend Carey?
Yeah.
Do you know when that might have started, or?
No, I don't.
What did the Brotherhood do?
Well, what did they do then?
Okay, so it has changed. It's changed over time what they do?
Yeah, the Brotherhood was getting a closer relation with each other in case needed. And then Brotherhood had a special day once a year, and on this special day the brothers had a program, and they would invite other brothers from other churches.
So it wasn't just Friendship Baptist, it was
on that day,
on that day,
Brotherhood day, we would do this, and it was just a good day that we look forward to. The women would have to, they would prepare food for the men's, for women's day, and it was just a good fellowship.
So there was a Brotherhood Day, and then there was a day for the women as well?
That's right.
And what was that called?
Just Women's Day.
Women's Day?
The Women's Day.
And Reverend Carey started both of these?
For as I know. No, I won't say that. I better not say that. As far as I know, I don't know.
Okay. But they were very good days, and you remember?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. They both had special days as long as I could remember. But I don't know when it started.
Okay. And there would be food, and there would
be... The women would prepare food on men's day. You know, that would be a special day. That's the only time of the year that they would do for the men.
What type of things went on that day?
Huh? I mean,
you brought in brother...
Program. Brought in a speaker.
Okay.
A speaker that we'd never heard before.
Do you remember any of the speakers by name? Or?
I know.
What type of things did they speak about?
They're speaking about the women's and the role they play in life, in the church and outside of the church, and how they came about. Some of us go from the woman receiving the rib, you become a woman. But they want to be called ladies. Oh, you, they come down, you know, why the speaker sometime and say, why would God say to a woman and woman come into existence and call herself, rename herself? That's something to think about. Maybe he wasn't satisfied with the name God gave him. Why would you be not satisfied? It's a long story. And you can just hold on to what he made. He made a name that,
So the day promoted scripture, it promoted, understanding of women, marriage, community.
Women, marriage. Oh, you mean
the day, you know, discussed marriage as well, and.
No, they didn't discuss that.
Okay.
Well, they went as far as to say that Adam was lonesome. God saw he was lonesome. He gave him a companion and mate. Let every man have his own life and cut it. So that's all they need to know. A beginning. Huh?
And a woman's day was similar then, or? But oriented for the women, they would have a speaker, or would it be?
That was the women.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He was given to man. That's why I says a companion. He didn't give you a man. He gave you a woman. And they don't change that. I'm telling you, it's something how to change and make, but if you know what you know, you ain't gonna change. Because that's spiritual. When you speak spiritual, you want to speak the way you want to do. That's two different ways, you know. Sometimes we do what we want to do as our way. That's why I asked a question in a conversation that says, you want me to give you a spiritual answer, or you want me to give you a way of life? Then I go from there. See, I stopped in fifth grade, but I know we're starting the bottom all the time. Huh? Raised six children, never let my wife work.
Well, there was a point with the church and the Brooklyn community where the spiritual and life sort of had a collision. The time when the church found that it was going to have to move because of urban renewal. And there was evidently a 30-day prayer service when the church found it was going to be having to move.
But anyway, we found out we had to move, so we got ready to move. We got a place to move, and then we moved. Well, I ain't gonna say how long or what they did in the progress. The progress was finding a place. You see, you pray for things, but the main thing is that you pray and he show you what to do, you do it. You know, and that's what we did. And when we found it, we took school.
Now, when the church moved, somewhere around there, you had to move too. You mean to the?
Well, we moved into the school.
Okay.
Oh, Home Bayfield Road.
Okay. But your family, I mean, when the urban renewal came through, you yourself and your family.
That's right.
Had to move too.
That's right.
Do you recall about your family moving? And Where did they move to first, or have you only moved once?
Well, the most families around there,
mm-hmm.
they found a place. The city put some of them where, and some of them went where they sold the homes, and after they sold the homes, they gave them at least a down payment for buying a house. In other words, the house they're living in wasn't worth staying in. So we didn't feel like moving, but it was a good thing we did after we got settled. We were glad it happened. Huh? At least I was, and others have said the same thing.
But there were also some very nice homes in Brooklyn, too, from looking at the pictures.
Yeah.
And they're...
It's right near there. They moved. They paid for it. And they moved grumbling. But after they got in another place, they were glad. Most of them that I hear was glad. Because they would have stayed there until it fell in. Huh? That's the way I see it. I would stay there as long as it didn't leak.
Well, you were happy there.
I was happy.
And when you heard the news, were you upset or?
Yeah. He's upset. But you're going to be upset before you. Being upset puts you to thinking that you can do better in another spot. Nothing remains the same. And when you realize, when I realize that nothing remains the same, then when I've come to the point where it's not, or I got to make some changes, then I think about what I can do about it and what I can't do about it. If I can't do about it, I'll do the best I can. Meaning that if you got a problem and can't solve it, handle it. And after you handle it, and it's all over, you'd be glad you did what you could. So you're going to get a little joy out of it at the end anyhow.
And the church, Friendship Baptist moving, appears to have been a very good thing for the church.
Sure it was. Because things need to be fixed. And it was getting in bad shape because I was a custodian of the church. You see, I knew. Just the furnish that they need. I was petting that furnish and trying to keep things going. Going in the morning, kindling that fire downstairs in that furnish and get it started and finally get it started. Trying to get it ready for the heat for the congregation. I had a time for $31 a month.
That was a coal furnace back then?
Yeah.
And that's what gave you the warmth in the winter. And in the summertime, how'd you keep cool?
We let the windows out.
Okay.
And fans.
Okay.
My fan cools you, and your fan cools the next year. And I don't know about that. Because this is all we're going to have.
And when the move finally came from Brooklyn, how old was the church in Brooklyn then? Do you recall?
No, I don't.
But it was old. It was old. But it was over 100. The church is over 100 now.
Yeah, it was over 100. But
the building.
Over 100 years old. The church, the organization of Friendship, over 100.
What we're going to do now, if we can, is we're going to take a little break because we're going to change the tape.
Yeah.
And then we'll have a couple more questions to continue with in just a couple minutes, okay?
Okay.
So we'll take a little break.
I'm still on the payroll of Brownlee.